Good evening and a warm word of welcome once again to Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church and to our weekly Bible study meeting. Delighted you're joining with us once again, and it is always our prayer that the Lord will bless you and encourage you even through his precious word this evening. And just to give you a couple of announcements, can we remind you that this weekend we're having a special online gospel mission coming to you from our Facebook and our YouTube pages. And we're delighted that the Reverend William McRae is our guest, a singer and preacher for this weekend mission. It is completely online, Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday night at 8 p.m. And we do invite you and encourage you not only to even tune into these services, but to invite and let others know that they're taking place as well. And if you're saved, we do encourage you to pray for them, to pray that the Lord will bless his servant and use him, and even through this weekend of mission, that many precious souls will be won for Jesus Christ. So do remember that in your prayers, and even remember to tune in this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Remember, of course, our services as they continue week by week, every Sunday, 11:30 and 7 p.m. and also our Sunday school at 10:30 in the morning on our Sunday day. And we do invite you, if you're in the area, do come along and do be part of our services. There's space for you. We'd be delighted to welcome you and to have you even joining with us in the church services. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open it this evening. The book of Genesis and the chapter 28. The book of Genesis and the chapter 28. Last week we began a study looking at some of the mountaintop experiences that we find in Scripture. And tonight we come to Genesis chapter 28. And I want to read some verses beginning at the verse in number 10. The verse 10 of Genesis chapter 28. The word of God, it says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took off the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. And we do trust and pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and his infallible word to all of our hearts. We come this evening, as I said, to continue with our mountaintop experiences. And tonight we come to Bethel, and it is the transforming experience. Bethel, the transforming experience. Let's have a moment's prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come to thee at our time of need even now, as we have read thy word together. Lord, how thankful we are to have it. But O God, as we come now to meditate and to study it together, we do pray that thou wilt speak. O God, that thou wilt work in each and every heart, that thou wilt work in my heart, that thou wilt touch my lips, that thou wilt enable me to bring forth thy message. Lord, we don't want simply to hear a sermon or to hear the thoughts of man. We want to hear the speaking voice of the Lord. And we do pray this night that thou wilt bless and that thou wilt work. And O God, that thou wilt teach each and every one, that thou wilt hide thy word deep in each heart. And O God, that thou wilt transform lives. Lord, we think of the day in which we live and the need for salvation. We think, O God, for the need for men and women to turn from their sin and to put their faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that that will be so even tonight, that men and women will come and meet with the Lord, that they will confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. O Lord, be near to us and bless us, and help us even now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we come again to another mountaintop experience and another mountaintop in the Scriptures. In verse number 11, it's simply introduced to us as being a certain place. But it is in verse 19 that we discover exactly where Jacob is. He is at Bethel, or at the place that was previously called Luz. And in terms of location, Bethel was about 12 miles north of Jerusalem. And it is over 3,000 feet or 900 meters above sea level. Now, if you want to put that into some kind of context or give a height comparison to it, well, Slieve Donard, the highest peak in Northern Ireland, Slieve Donard is 850 meters high. And so Bethel is just higher than that, just by about 50 or 60 meters. And this mountain ridge ran parallel with the River Jordan. But this mountain ridge, this location, was a very bleak and a very barren and a very stony area. And this is where Jacob would come upon, this is where Jacob would tarry for that night, for that season, even overnight. And Jacob at that time, he's making his journey from the family home in Beersheba to his mother's side of the family in Paddan Aram. And certainly his life as a whole was in the midst of a great transformation. All that he had known up to that point had disappeared. The blessing of being in a family home, the safety and the comfort, the love that is there, that had all now gone. He had deceived his father. If you know anything of the life and the history of Jacob and Esau, whenever they came to adulthood, Isaac, as he was growing older, had that desire to bless his eldest son, which was the elder twin, Esau. But Jacob had deceived his father. And in his deception, along with his mother's help, he had obtained the blessing that was due to the eldest child, to Esau. And now, after receiving that blessing, he is on the run. He has had to leave the family home. His brother has that desire indeed to kill him. And Jacob, the one who loved the indoors, is now without a home and is having to live and to sleep outdoors as he makes that journey on foot, a journey which is believed to have been anywhere between 400 to 500 miles in distance. He is fleeing from an angry brother. He is fleeing from a broken home. He is heading towards an unknown future. He has no idea of how he will be received by his mother's side of the family, of what his future holds, of whether or not he'll ever be able to return, nor is he saying goodbye completely to everything forever. It's in that context that we come to Bethel. And it's in that context that Jacob has this transforming experience even in his life. I want you to see just four things this evening as we go through this passage together. I want you to see, firstly, the place he was at. The place he was at. We've already mentioned that it is the place that tells us it's a certain place in verse 11, but we've already mentioned that verse 19, it highlights to us that he is at Bethel. We've highlighted the fact that it is upon the top of a mountain. It's 900 meters roughly above sea level. But if we look closer at the details and at the passage together, we will see even more detail is given to us by the Holy Spirit. I want you to see firstly that the place in which he is a desolate place. Because the verse 11 tells us that he had to take off the stones of that place and put them for his pillow. Such is the barrenness and such is the dearth of that area that there is nothing of comfort and there is nothing of care towards him. There is nothing to nurture him or to give him any peace, even for those night hours, there's no trees to find shelter in. There's no trees to find shelter under. You can't go and cut down or pull down some branches and lie upon the branches or upon the leaves. There is nothing to give him a soft bed or even a soft pillow. It's nothing but hardness. It's hard ground. It's hard stones. It's a desolate place, and it's also a dark place. We read in the verse 11 again that the sun has set. There's no light to guide. There's no hope of moving any further, even though he's in that place. There's no hope of getting to a nicer place or to a more comfortable place or to even a safer place. There's no way of knowing where it's safe to walk or where the pitfalls or where the cliff edges are. So he has to just stay where he is. He has to accept his surroundings. And the best that it has to offer to him is a cold, hard ground and stones for a pillow. And of course, it's also a dangerous place, because he's at the mercy of any wild animal that would roam in the mountains. Any night predator that would come out and hunt and seek its food, Jacob is there unguarded and unprotected. He has nothing. He has no weapon with him. He has no torch. He has nothing to keep himself safe. He is completely at the mercy, even of those animals, that they could come at any minute and kill him and destroy him. And surely we see, even through that place and the conditions that he found himself in, what a picture it is of man in his sinful state. Man is desolate. Man is in darkness, and man is in constant danger. Sin always brings devastation and indeed desolation. We think, and we can highlight even through Psalm 73:19, Proverbs 1, the verse 27, Proverbs 3 in the verse 25, Isaiah 24 in the verse 12, Isaiah 47 in the verse 11, it says, "Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly." Indeed, sin is enveloped in that devastation. It brings nothing but the worst of the worst. And sin also is enveloped in darkness. Psalm 82 in the verse 5, it tells us, "Thou know not what, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness." And this was the place where Jacob was literally and indeed spiritually. His life was a mess. The greed, the pride, the lies in his life had wrecked the home and had wrecked even his acceptance in the home. And now he is exiled. Now he has no hope. Now he has no help from the world, and there's no care, there's no comfort. And my, what a reality that is, even of the world today. It can offer nothing to the individual but desolation, darkness, and danger. And the devil goes about even as that wild mountain animal. He's going about roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And this is the reality for each one that is unsaved. This is the situation in which each unsaved person, if you're unsaved, this is the situation that you find yourself in. You're desolate. You have nothing in and of yourself. There is nothing in this world to offer you but hardness and coldness, darkness and danger. And that's where Jacob found himself in, even for that night. The place that he was, but then I want you to see, secondly, the person that he met. The person that he met. The verse number 12, it says, "And he dreamed. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." Jacob seeks to do the best that he can, even in this situation. And he endeavours to go to sleep, and sleep comes to his eyes, even as he lies down on that cold, hard ground and lies upon those pillows. And in the course of his dream, he dreams of a ladder. And the detail that is given to us in this verse number 12 is very, very significant. And indeed, it's vital to understanding what this all meant, who actually the ladder was. Because, my friend, the ladder is a picture of Jesus Christ. That's who Jacob meets with upon the mountaintop. He meets with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself declared it. whenever speaking with Nathanael in John chapter 1 and the verse 51, the Lord Jesus said to Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto thee, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending, listen to this, upon the Son of Man. And indeed, every detail of the verse 12 here in Genesis 28, every detail that is given to us of this ladder, it speaks of Christ. We have firstly the detail that the ladder is set up on the earth. This speaks to us of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The ladder, as Jacob sees it, is coming from heaven and it is set up upon earth. In other words, its base is upon the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and he lived upon this earth. And the ladder's base was here. It's going upwards. It's not from heaven going downwards, but rather it's based upon this earth and is going upwards. And Christ, firstly, he came down and he lived upon this earth in order to be that perfect substitute, in order to come to this earth and to save a people for himself. You know, his coming to this earth is an absolute necessity to our salvation. If Christ did not come down into this world, we could not and we cannot be saved. But Christ did come, and his incarnation did take place. He was veiled in humanity. He had his deity, yes, but then he took humanity into that union, that perfect union with it. And he lived upon this earth. And then the next detail it gives us is that the ladder not only set up on the earth, but the top of it reached to heaven. The ladder reaching up into heaven, it speaks to us of the ascension of Christ. Christ, who came to this earth after his 33 years upon it, his 33 perfect years, his 3 years of ministry, and after his death upon the cross and his resurrection from the dead, he ascended up into glory. He went up through the clouds. That's what it tells us in Acts 1, the verses 9, and also the verse 11, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. And again, his ascension into heaven is an absolute necessity for us. It is an absolute necessity for for his intercession on our behalf. He went into heaven. He presented his body and his blood as that sacrifice acceptable for sin. And he sat down at the right hand of God, ever to make intercession for us. The ladder was set up on earth and reached to heaven. There is also, it tells us, another detail in this verse. It tells us that it reaches, and it's set up on earth, but it reaches to heaven. It gives us a detail of the size of the ladder. This ladder was able to bridge the gap, to bridge the gulf even between heaven and earth. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was able to do. He bridged that gap between God and man. He bridged that gap between heaven and earth. He is the way, it tells us in John 14 and verse 6. He declared it himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, I am the ladder. I am the way to get to heaven. I am the one who bridged the gap, who spanned that great gulf. The size of the ladder. And then it also tells us that there's angels upon the ladder. The angels are ascending and descending on it. And Christ, of course, as I highlighted, he spoke of this in John 1 in the verse 51. But the angels, of course, speak to us of their involvement even in the ministry and the life of Christ. And so often in Christ's life, there were angels notably mentioned. We have the coming of Gabriel to announce even the birth of the Lord Jesus to Joseph and to Mary. We have then, when the Lord Jesus was born and laid in Bethlehem, the angels appeared to the shepherds. And they sang, the heavenly host emptied out of heaven, and they came and they filled the night sky, and they sang and proclaimed to those shepherds. We have the angels who came after his time of temptation in the wilderness. they came to him. We have an angel also who came to the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen the Lord Jesus. We have angels who appeared at the empty tomb after his resurrection. We have angels who were there at his ascension. And it is angels who minister to each one that is saved. It is angels that are given that task of guarding and of watching and of ministering to us. Hebrews 1, verse 14, speaking of the angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? There is a work for the angels to do. There always has been. They're in the service of the King. And just one final thing before we move on from the ladder, I want you to see also that the Father is with Christ. Another wonderful picture is given to us, because the verse 13, it tells us, behold, the Lord stood above it. In other words, stood above the ladder. Because of the ladder, Jacob heard the voice of God speaking to him. The Father is standing over the ladder, and it's the Lord who is overseeing it all. And everything is being accomplished in accordance with his divine will. You know, it's a wonderful picture of salvation, isn't it? Here was Jacob desolate and darkness and danger. But now, because of Christ entering in, now because of Christ even coming in that form as that ladder, because that light is now given in that darkened place, he is able to see and to hear the voice of God speaking to him. And all is changed in his life. The Lord is speaking to Jacob because of the ladder. And my friend, it is only Christ that can bridge that gap for us. It's only Christ that can save us from our sins. It is only by Christ's death upon the cross and his resurrection that we can have our sins forgiven, and we can have peace with God, and we can be justified by his blood. And Christ is the one who can and who does transform life and indeed lives and transforms our existence even in this world. He's the one who brings forth and speaks and enables even that reconciliation, that reuniting of Father and of God even with fallen man. That's Christ Jesus at work. Not Christ Jesus' wonderful redemptive work of redeeming us, of redeeming a people even unto his Father in heaven. The picture, the person that he met. But then I want you to see, thirdly, the promise that is given. The verse 13, it says, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. You know, this promise, even as it continues in verse 14 and 15, it's a revelation of the covenant to Jacob. That covenant which had been given and revealed to Abraham, to Isaac, and now is being given to Jacob. And even through this covenant and this promise being given, it's a wonderful demonstration to us of the grace of God, and nothing but the grace of God. Because here was one in the form of Jacob who didn't deserve the least of the mercies of God. And yet God, who is full of grace and plenteous in mercy, is willing to bestow all upon him, all of the blessings, all of the promises that had been enjoyed and given to both Abraham and to Isaac. He's promised and he's provided for in the verse 13. All of that need that he has, the Lord says to him, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. There's the provision. But then the verse 14, he will prosper. Because it says, thy seed shall be the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. There's the prospering. He'll also be protected. The verse 15, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Will bring thee again into this land. And did you notice that in that final phrase? He's pardoned. He's allowed to return. As we said at the beginning, here was a man who was going to have to, he was leaving his own country. He had no idea if he would ever be able to return, but yet the Lord is pardoning him. The Lord is saying, yes, you can return, and yes, you will return. My, what grace. What unmerited favor from God even towards Jacob. For what had Jacob done to be blessed at all? Absolutely nothing. He was a failure. He was a sinner. He deserved God's justice. He deserved God's punishment for his sins of pride, of greed, of lying, and even wrecking that family home. And he deserved to be punished, and yet God in his infinite mercy and grace chose to save him and to show mercy to him. The Lord has said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And he was having mercy even upon Jacob. You know, even though there was nothing in Jacob worth saving, there's nothing in Jacob worth blessing, but yet God's grace was given. It was God who came to him. It was God who revealed himself to Jacob. It was God who spoke to Jacob. And yea, it was God who saved Jacob. No, surely Ephesians chapter 2 and the opening 9 verses can really be applied, can't they, to the life of Jacob? Because in the verse 1 it tells us in Ephesians 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That can be said of Jacob. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That can be said of Jacob. In the verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That can be said of Jacob. In the verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That can all be said of Jacob. It's all of grace. And my, what grace. Because Jacob saw and experienced it there upon that mountaintop at Bethel. And he did indeed acknowledge that he wasn't worthy even of the least of it. Because in verse 16 he says, surely the Lord is in this place. I knew it not. Verse 17, he was afraid. Because he saw himself, he saw who he was in his trespasses and in his sins. And there's fear even there. And he says, there, how dreadful is this place? There is none. This is none other but the house of God. He realized that he did not deserve to be even experiencing the presence of God, never mind the pardon of God. Brethren and sisters, surely that ought to be our testimonies. Even as we go about our lives, that we are all unworthy of the least of God's mercies. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all unrighteous. Our righteousness are as filthy rags, and yet grace has entered in. And God in his infinite mercy through Christ, through the cross of Christ, has saved us. He's given us a full pardon, not a part pardon. Not a stipulating pardon. He has given us a full pardon. He has given us protection. He has given us provision. My, what a God we have. What a God we serve. What a God we love even today. Because of his infinite mercy and grace even towards us. And one final thing as we bring our time to a close this evening. I want you to see the verses 18 to 22. The proclamation that is given. The proclamation that is given tells us, just reading the verse 18, Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillow, set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. You know, this account upon the mountaintop of Bethel concludes with that a clear evidence of a life changed. The verse 18, he honors the Holy Spirit in the pouring of the oil. The oil in Scripture always symbolizes, and anyone that was anointed with oil, it symbolizes the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them. And even in this time of that dream and the transformation in his life. He acknowledges the work of the Holy Spirit even within it. That the Spirit is that energy of God. The Spirit is the one who works within us, who brings us even to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the verse 20, he confesses his faith in the Lord. So he says, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I will go, bring and will give me bread and raiment to put on, then shall the Lord be my God. In other words, he's confessing his faith firstly, because he says, if the Lord will be with me and keep me. He's trusting the Lord for his life. He's trusting the Lord now for everything. In verse 21, he's also confessing not only his faith in the Lord, but he's confessing the Lord God as the Lord of his life. Because he says there, the Lord be my God. And then finally, he gives to the Lord. The end of the verse 22, it says, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Here's the one who was the twister. That's what his name Jacob means. Here is the one who was the getter. He took the birthright off Esau for a bowl of soup. He took the blessings of Isaac that were due to Esau. He took that. He was a getter. He took everything that he could. But yet now he is the giver. The selfish one is now the sacrificial one. My, what a transformation. And it was only through the Lord, and it was only through his salvation that this could come about. This was nothing engineered or manufactured up by Jacob. This was the working of the Holy Spirit in accordance with the will of the Father and the sacrifice of Christ. This effort and this change, this transformation in Jacob's life was the work of a triune God. My, what a transformation. What a place Bethel is. Isn't it any wonder that Jacob said in the verse 17, this is none other but the house of God. I know that in our day, and even this weekend when we think of our services coming up again, we think of the online mission as well. Well, that the Lord would be pleased to transform more lives. That the Lord, by his grace and by his Holy Spirit, would bring men and women who were dead in trespasses and sins and bring them to saving faith, bring them to life in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we will see sinners being transformed from merely sinners to sinners saved by grace. No, the grace of God is still there today. The grace of God is still being given to needy men and women. I earnestly trust and pray that if you're not saved, that you will turn from your sin and experience the grace of God in your life, that you will cry even unto him and ask him to save you and ask him to keep you. Confess him as Lord even in your life if you are saved. Oh, that even this night that we will be encouraged even to pray and cry unto the Lord and to thank him. To thank him, yea, daily for the grace even in our lives, that saving grace, that sanctifying grace, that sustaining grace, that he is the one who keeps us and who meets our every need. Oh, what a God. What a God and what a Savior we have. Trust and pray that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. And O God, we thank thee for thy grace. Lord, we do rejoice that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. We thank and we praise thee this night for that day and hour, even that night time, when thou didst meet with Jacob, when thou didst transform his life, when thou didst save him. We thank thee, O Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth and bridging that gulf, that gap between earth and in heaven. And Lord, we thank and praise thee that he did come. He did die for our sin. He did rise from the dead. And he's ascended up into glory. He's making intercession even now on our behalf. And O Father, we just pray that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every heart. Thou wilt encourage thy people. That thou wilt speak, O God, to the lost. And draw them unto thyself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Word of thanks once again for spending this time with us. Do pray that the Lord will bless you and encourage you as you have studied his word this evening. May God bless each one.